Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Thursday. I know that's what everyone's tuning in for. It is Thursday, the 10th of December. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Glad to have you with me. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Kelly. Good beer, yes?
I'm sorry. That would be Brian's evil twin, Borat Chaffin.
I was not doing Borat. For the record, I was not doing Borat.
I know.
No, I was might have been doing a terrible Russian accent, but it was not Borat.
Just I know it wasn't.
But all respect to Sasha.
But Borat Chaffin was funny. That's why I had to go there. So,
did you forget that this is the international episode?
Oh no. Apparently. So,
okay.
American Jeff, I would like to start with you and talk a little bit about your experience with Apple TV, the app, without having Apple TV, the box.
Right. So it's really cool. You know, in my house, we have Fire Sticks. We don't have an Apple TV because, well, my housemate started off with a Fire Stick, and I've converted him over to the iPhone, but I'm not going any further just yet.
That makes sense.
Because I found out that Apple TV is available on the Fire Stick. And it works a lot better than I would have thought. I've got the Apple TV Plus. I've got a couple of channels. I have CBS All Access and Showtime, you know, that bundle that you get with Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so I would have thought that the Fire Stick would require me to have their own CBS All Access and Showtime apps in order to use those subscriptions. I don't. They work right from within the Apple TV app. So not only can I watch Apple TV Plus content, but I've been watching Star Trek Discovery, finally, right through the Fire Stick, just using the Apple TV app. I don't have any of the other, I don't have the CBS All Access app or any of that on my Fire Stick, just Apple TV. So any of the channels that you subscribe to in the Apple TV app, they carry over in the app on the Fire Stick, which I think is really cool.
That's very handy. Yeah, especially if you're in a situation like you're talking about where your smartphone decision is an iPhone, but the thing you have on the TV may not be an Apple TV. It may be something else. So I will also point out that the Fire TV is getting a pretty significant operating system update. It's either coming like today, possibly, the Fire TV sticks. If you have the 4K or like, I think the box, the update will take longer to get to you was the thing that I saw yesterday. Apparently it's a lot more user friendly, but you know, you'll have to wait and see if that's actually the case, I guess. But also the Fire TV stick is a very, very affordably priced option for people who want to plug something into their TV, like for some streaming and stuff. I know a lot of people who use that as a nice way to cord cut, because like whatever services I have, they're not on the TV. And what do I have to connect to the TV in order to not watch cable, but I want to watch TV? Like, you get one of these. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it's also built into a lot of TVs now.
Sure. Like,
the whole reason I even have it in my room is because my housemate on Prime Day bought a Toshiba Fire TV, ended up getting it for like $50 after all the discounts and the promo credit he got for signing up for an Amazon credit card.
Nice.
And so, you know, his old TV and Fire Stick, which I believe is a Fire Stick 4K, came to me.
Well, there you go. So it's definitely a nice option for people.
Yeah. Because, I mean, sometimes you can get the Fire Stick for like $30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very affordable. So
a heck of a lot better than the Apple TV. I'm sad to say.
Well, I'm sad to say it too, but you know, that's part of why we were looking forward to Tuesday being the Apple TV, but a stick instead of exorbitantly priced headphones, which is what we got. So that was part of what was interesting about it. Now, Brian, you don't have a remote in this fight, do you? I'm thinking the answer is probably not. Because
Sorry. The question is, do I have a remote?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a dog. We're talking about television. Fight. So seeing that's me trying to be clever. Yeah. Don't listen to me. You're all Apple all the time, so you don't have a Fire thing hooked up to a television.
I am pretty much all, and by pretty much I mean solidly.
Yes.
All Apple in my house.
That's what I thought. For good or for ill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was what I thought.
Well, I will.
I don't have one, but I'm considering it, and I have family members who do have Fire TVs. So.
Okay. Let me tell you the one drawback.
Okay.
You know how. On the Fire Stick, you're supposed to be able to use that lady to search for content?
Yes.
If you do that, you know, she'll give you, by default, she's going to give you Amazon's answer to that particular content request, to that search.
Okay.
And then she'll give you more options depending on what apps you have installed on your Fire Stick.
Okay.
She does not give you the Apple TV as an option.
Interesting. Okay. So if you ask the A-lady for the morning show, you're out of luck unless you know that it's on the Apple TV. Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
Now, I wonder if that's Apple not giving that access, or if that is Amazon not taking advantage of that. And I don't know the answer to that. I do know that that Apple TV will give you content on Amazon Prime Video.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I wonder. I think my predilection would be to assume that Apple's not giving that access.
Yeah.
But I don't have any evidence of that.
My hope would be that maybe there's an option you can choose for like search everything and not just Amazon. But I don't know if that's like on by default, but. You know, that may,
yeah, does
that
it may search other services? Like, can you find Hulu content?
Yeah, like if I had the CBS All Access app installed, or like I do have the HBO Max app, it'll search those. And it'll search, I believe it'll search YouTube, but I'm not as big into YouTube as Chris is, so I'm not 100% on that.
Okay.
Interesting.
My use for YouTube is mainly music.
But it is interesting I'm glad to know that it's at least a good experience as long as you know what you're looking for, I suppose.
Yeah. What I really like is the fact that Apple is putting its stuff out there on more than just Apple devices. When I first came back on the show, we talked about Apple Music being on Android. Mm-hmm. It's not on the Fire Stick, by the way.
Okay.
I believe it is on the Fire tablet, though. I think I did find it on the Fire tablet. But So, the fact that Apple TV is available in so many places, I think Apple made a really good business decision doing that. Not just limiting everything to the Apple ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Which was a thing that used to be a point in their favor just when all they made was computers was there were ways that you could read Windows files and different things because Apple recognized they weren't the only game in town, which was the thing I always rather liked about it, because if you had a Windows machine and needed to do something with a Word document from Mac OS, Word, for example, like you were probably out of luck for a long time. So... that's one of the things I always appreciated about Apple. And in this case, I'm glad to see that has continued because it's nice that they made it available everywhere and understood, like, not everybody has a Fire TV, or not everybody has an Apple TV, so let's put it out on some other stuff as well. And that channel, as we've talked about with Charlotte on other episodes of Daily Observations, is available on other TVs as well. And I can tell you that I have a family member with a Roku And you can get the TV Plus channel situation, the TV app.
On the Roku?
On a Roku as well, yeah. In fact, I think I told the story here, I either told it here or talking to Mr. Martellaro over on Background Mode, that my dad called me up and said, Tom Hanks has a movie that Apple put out and I need to watch it. Tell me what to do. And that's how I found out it's on the Roku. So there you
go.
So it's good to know that it's
my daughter know that.
Yeah, it's good to know it's prevalent. Greyhound, it's like they knew my dad needed a new movie to watch because it'd been a while. So they went, we're going to put Tom Hanks in a World War II movie. Hey, Kelly, figure out how to set your dad up because he's going to need to know. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, because Apple makes so many of its business decisions based around your dad, you know,
which is fascinating because he has an Android phone. It's fine. I'm adopted. We're over it.
They're trying to convert him.
I'd like to think that happens. We'll see how it goes. In the meantime, what I'd like to do is take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is BetterHelp. BetterHelp, to make sure you know I'm not saying health, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed therapist. You can talk to BetterHelp's counselors safely online, and you can get started with them in less than 24 hours. This isn't a self-help situation with a coach. This is professional help from a licensed counselor. And BetterHelp wants to make sure that you have a great therapeutic match. So it's easy and free to change counselors if necessary so that you get the right one. You can send a message to that counselor anytime, or you can set up a confidential appointment via video or phone. There's no awkward waiting room to worry about it. And you can talk to a counselor who specializes in your particular need, whether it's depression or LGBT issues or anxiety or trauma or grief. They have a long list. And as my listener, you get 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/TDO. That's BETTERHELP.com/TDO. BetterHelp.com/TDO for 10% off your first month of counseling. And we'd like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring the show today. Now, Jeff, it's kind of the Jeff show today. You also had a thing that you wrote up about Face ID while you're laying down.
Yeah. You know, it was kind of weird because I was late to the whole Face ID game. Mm-hmm. Until the 12 Pro came out, I was still using Touch ID devices. And I was shocked at how quick I could unlock my phone just by picking it up. Mm-hmm. But then as I started using it more when I was laying down in bed, it wasn't working. At first, I thought it was because the lights were off, which was a stupid thought because I know that the True Depth camera uses infrared. Then I thought maybe it was because my face was smushed into my pillow. So, you know, I started doing some contortion activities to try to make it work better. Mm-hmm. Lifting my head up, twisting my arm a certain way so that my phone was aligned perfectly with my face. And it didn't really help. And stubborn man that I am, I didn't turn to Google until about a couple days ago. Turns out, when we're laying in bed, many of us, people who wear glasses and people who don't, hold our phones too close to our face for the Face ID sensors to work.
Okay.
You're saying that a product of laying down is causing us to essentially behave differently. I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We almost naturally hold our phone closer to our face, either because we've got someone else in bed with us and we don't want to smack them in the face, or just because it's more comfortable. You know, try laying down and holding your phone out, you know, 12 inches from your face, and it may not be the most comfortable position for you. But that's what the Face ID sensor requires.
Okay.
And if you've ever taken a selfie of yourself or tried doing a FaceTime call while you were laying down in bed, you might have already realized that your head's a lot closer to the phone than otherwise, and it doesn't capture all of your face. So the True Depth camera can't analyze all of those dimensions of your face unless you're holding your phone. Apple's Apple specifications say the ideal distance is 25 to 50 centimeters, which is approximately 10 to 20 inches. So, okay. You know, roughly arm's length away with your elbow at about a 45 degree angle, maybe closer to 50 or 60 degrees.
Okay.
And so once I found that out, I did some more testing, and sure enough, I can unlock my phone every single time, even with the lights out, even with my head smushed into the pillow.
Yeah, the lights shouldn't be an issue because it's infrared. But yeah. I find this interesting. Like, I've certainly encountered some difficulties from time to time with Face ID in bed, and I'm sure that, like anybody else, I'm probably doing the exact same thing that you described. But then I think that there are also times when it's because my face is scrunched up, be it because I'm laying on my side, or because even if I'm on my back, I've got my, like, you know, chins.
Yeah.
All scrunched up.
Yeah. Yeah. But try paying attention to how far away your phone is and see if that changes. Yeah. And I mean, at first I thought maybe it was just because I had my glasses off. Mm-hmm. But according to some of the sources I've read, it's people that don't wear glasses that run into the same issue.
So that's really interesting. It is interesting from the standpoint of the little things that we just don't think about.
Yeah.
Who in a million years would have, well, I'm sure maybe someone did. As a matter of fact, someone actually figured this out, but I mean, like, who in a million years would have thought that the issue was that we simply hold our phones differently?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if maybe Steve Jobs predicted that, you know, years ago when he said, you're holding it wrong.
The thing that I have found with Face ID, I also was fashionably late to the Face ID game, which was last year when I got my 11 Pro, was that once I knew that it started working, like, I put on a hat and I go out in the yard and to do yard work, and I can unlock my phone that way. Or I put on sunglasses or my other sunglasses or my other sunglasses, and it all still works fine. Or the room is low lit, or I'm outside and it's nighttime or whatever. Like, it always just worked. It worked, it worked, it worked, it worked. And then I was laying in bed sideways and my phone was on an upright stand, and I swiped up and I waited, and it's like, nope, unlock your phone. And I'm like, but you work all the time. What's the deal? And it turns out if your face is sideways and your phone is not, no dice.
Yeah.
That was the problem. Like, but because it was working in like every other circumstance, I'm like, oh, well, Face ID just is awesome. And no, in that case, it really doesn't care. So that was the only thing that I ran into in bed. And it was just because I didn't pick my phone up, because if my phone is the same is the same orientation as my face, it's fine. So that was the thing that I found that I had issues with when I was working on trying to solve my Face ID problem. It's make sure your phone and your head are facing the same way. So to me, it didn't seem like a particular power tip. But yeah, that's it's interesting about holding it differently, because that would not have occurred to me either. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I still love
Face ID.
Oh, it's great. Well, okay. I liked it a lot more until March of this year. So
yeah, but you know what? We've got a tip for that, Kelly. have a tip for that.
It was great for a year, and then it got a little bit less great for like the last five. So, you know, I don't know. Anyway, when it works, look, it's awesome.
Kelly, look through our archives.
I know.
We have, and I linked to it in my article. We've got a tip for how to use Face ID when you wear a mask.
I know. I looked at it. I'm just saying that's a thing that has been an issue for me. If you have issues with Face ID, or if you have a trick with Face ID that you would like to tell us about, or if you have tips or questions about some of our tips that you would like to know so that we have more information for you, we are here for you at your pleasure. So please let us know. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Thanks both of you for being here today. Jeff, thanks so much for coming by.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Lots of information here. And Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Indeed. Thanks for having us, Kelly. Good to be here.
Glad to have you here. And I'm Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.